Thanksgiving feast, and today's message is entitled Thanksgiving Communion with God and Man. And I'm going to 1 Corinthians. If you'll find 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that's what we're looking at. Wanted to remind you the word Thanksgiving is always used in relationship to God, and at the heart of Thanksgiving, we're thankful people will take time to focus in on the Lord, the source of all good things, not the need. It's going to be difficult for anybody to be thankful if we don't focus in on the source, but we're always focused in on need. Therefore, we get a chance here to take a look at what Thanksgiving is all about, and I have three words for us this morning. Three words, they start with R. You can see it's remembrance, repentance, and reconciliation. We're going to look at those three and hopes that that will get a chance to say, ah, all right, I understand what's going on here. And let's begin with the first one. We're looking here first at the word remembrance. Point number one, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to begin with verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11. I'm reading from the New King James Version. If you've got another translation, that's okay. Just follow along with us here. Lord, we want to thank you as we open your word. Thank you for opening our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to experience you. And we like a fresh pouring of your grace. Lord, may it be one that just ignites our hearts in a unique and wonderful God-honoring way. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. For in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, as we take a look here for a moment, isn't it interesting to note a couple of things here? The word remembrance, it's our properly response approach to what Christ has done for us, his work of redemption. And look at two words, or actually one word that's listed twice here is the word remembrance. It's listed there in verse 24. Do this in remembrance of me. How about verse 25? Again, it's repeated in remembrance of me. Why would the Lord have us to remember? I mean, probably because there's a tendency for us to forget. We just forget. I mean, where's my cell phone? What did I do with my wallet? Can anybody know where I placed the car keys? And we just have a tendency to forget, sometimes forgetting people's names. And so is the Word of God trying to say, well, we want you to remember what Jesus did on the cross, maybe his path to Golgotha, maybe how severely he's been beaten up for us? What would be the word remembrance for? And the leaning of the direction is more than just remembering what he did in the past, but bringing back our reminders what he is to our life currently. In other words, do we remember him in our daily life or our daily thoughts? How about our daily decisions? How much do we actually remember him? It's nice to come into church and say, oh man, yeah, I'm going to give God my time. I remember why I'm here. But how about doing things in remembrance of him, recognizing that he's an important role in our life? Because there is a tendency we forget. How often do you take a decision you're about to make and say, hey, I'm going to pray about it? Or gather some people around you and say, would you pray with me about this decision in remembrance of him? And see, that's the issues that we're feeling and sensing right now, especially because the Word of God comes along and reminds us. It was Moses who was telling the people before going into the Promised Land, you're going to become very wealthy and have a lot of things. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 14, he says, your hearts will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Seems to be the leaning of the prophets in the Old Testament. Here we have Moses saying, don't forget your Savior. Don't forget, you will have a tendency to forget him. Oh, the prophets in the Old Testament, they'd often would say things, you're celebrating the feast days, you're going at it where you have some wonderful festivals, but you're going at it forgetting me days without number, one prophet says. So you're going at it, you're saying and doing these things, but you really don't remember me in the daily life, in your daily decisions. So you can have that common time. And Jesus came along in Mark chapter 7, verse 16, where he literally said, they honor me with their lips and their mouth, but their heart is far from me. So it's worth noting today when we talk about Jesus saying, do this in remembrance of me. Okay, well, I did it. But it's more, have you kept me in your remembrance in your daily life? In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, remember when the Spirit of God started speaking to the churches, and he said, I've got this one thing, you're just a great group of people, but you have this one thing I hold against you. You've left your first love. Turn around and do the first works. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Remember the height from which you had fallen. And repent and do the first works. Now, that's an amazing thing, what he was literally saying. Don't you remember how you were first in love with me? Now you're not. Turn it around and go back and do the first works that caused you to fall in love with me. That's just a great word for any relationship with people, and especially marriage. What is it that caused you to fall in love with your spouse? How's it going these days? Well, you know, we're married. What? Man, remember what you did at the first gate to fall in love. Keep doing it to stay in love. And that's what Jesus is telling the church. So we're taking a look here, remembrance, our proper response to Christ's work of redemption for us. So necessary and so important. As a matter of fact, let's take that occasion now. As we prepare our hearts for communion, we're going to have a couple of pauses at each point where we want to just pray. Would you just close your eyes for a moment here? And how are we doing remembering the Lord in our daily life, making decisions? Do you pray with people in your family over issues? Or do you just talk about the issues? Lord, we remember you this day. Help us to include you more, more. Let's take a look at the second point, repentance. In Luke chapter 5, verse 32, that's where Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When we take a look at the word repentance, it's a change of mind which results in a change of actions. So in other words, all repentance starts with the mind. We think it through at first. Yeah, I should make some adjustments. But true repentance means I'm going to make the change on the outward appearance as well. So it's important for us. So personal, my personal responsibility is really to subtract sin from my life. Jesus loves me, loves you. He likes what we do. He loves us. But there could be things called sin that need to be removed, called change. We need to make a change. So oftentimes repentance is not a very popular message. A more consistent flow of thought that happens in our society is, well, hey, if this event that I'm doing makes me happy, why is that bad? Well, there's something that's called an idol. And an idol is something that causes a barrier between a child of God and a relationship with God. That's called an idol. And oftentimes, God will speak to that person, and it's basically causing us to bow or to flow or to succumb or to maintain, posture ourselves even more than when God calls. The Greek word, it's interesting, for repent is metanoia, Metanoia is the word that was used when Peter blew it and denied the Lord three times. And we just finished a great study, plenty of time within the first and second epistle of Peter. It was wonderful. Peter repented when he denied the Lord. Remember, he cried with great tears, but he brought himself around and said, man, I need the Lord. I'm going to follow the Lord. He made the changes necessary, became a great apostle for the church. The other repentance, metanoian, is referred to with a person like Judas Iscariot. Judas also denied the Lord, but he was sorrowful for what he did. But that repentance was more, I'm embarrassed by what I did, and I can't face reality, and he went out and hung himself. So there's no change of action, just I feel bad about it, and I'm embarrassed with society to face it. So two ways of looking at that, and repentance is the first. It's an inward act that we turn toward God. Say, Lord, I need to come to you. Let's take a moment right now, and let's bow our heads. Let's consider that. Are there areas that become really as an idol to you? The Lord can speak that. He wants to speak that. Maybe you want to speak something to him right now. Isn't it interesting to note, it's really might be dumb for us to think that we're saved because we're good, or the possibility that we've done something to earn our salvation. That's even dumber. When we take a look at the fact that, man, it's a gift. We are saved because God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus. Our only chance to be right with God the Father is through Jesus. There's no other way. And what a wonderful reminder this Thanksgiving, if you've not ever paused to say, man, I've been given a gift. And there are times I get myself really blue. I mean, it's tough working with certain situations, sometimes people, and it just doesn't work out the way you had anticipated. It's nice to come around and say, but Lord, thank you for the great gift, salvation. And I did not earn it. There's no way. It's a wonderful thing to not only remember what the Lord has done, but to bring our focus back and say, I want to repent of anything thinking I need to do or establish. So communion settles that and reminds us and brings our heart back. As we realize we didn't earn anything here, it's important. Great to have the Thanksgiving meal. I'm so glad that our meal is consisting of communion today. Fantastic. Let's take a look at the number three point, reconciliation. Reconciliation. If you're there in 1 Corinthians, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go. You can find that there. You can see that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're looking at verse 17. So we have remembrance, our proper response to Christ's work for redemption or of redemption. Second, repentance, change of mind, which results in a change of actions. And then third, reconciliation, to change hostility into friendship. That's an amazing thing here. And we take a look here because the main idea of reconciliation is just that. You walk into a hostile environment. You know there's not any kind of relationship that's going on. It's really tense. You're all kind of there, and all of a sudden the relationship and the environment turns friendly. That's reconciliation. And God is all about reconciliation. Man, it is his main direction to work reconciliation. Let's check it out here, verse 17 through verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Isn't it interesting when we take a look here, because it's laid out in three ways, this reconciliation. First, God opens a pathway for us. Look at the first point. We're reconciled to God. Verse 17 and 18, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. When we look here, what an amazing thing when we recognize this, because God's done something for us. We had a barrier, and that barrier is sin. To say, I'm going to go ahead and handle this sin issue myself, would be just like somebody coming on and saying, I'm going to break up this concrete, this cement slab with a children's plastic hammer. There's no way. There's no way. It would take quite a bit. We needed somebody to break through, and Jesus came and cleared the path for us to be reconciled to God the Father. It's in the scripture. We just read it. Reconciled us to God. Man, what a thanksgiving. What a thanksgiving. What a great reminder to enjoy this meal and say, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of that. The second bullet point, we should be reconciling with each other. That's also listed there, clearing the path for one another. So necessary. Now, it's important because we're all a part of a family, and the family of God, as we have communion here, we're saved by grace. I'm saved by grace. You're saved by grace. And if you've ever been a Christian for any length of time, you will recognize that relationships can get strained in family. Sometimes things get a little tense. And God says, I want you to reconcile that. The tension between a brother and sister is very real. It's family. That's how family works. And you need to reconcile and clear the path for one another. So clear when you take a look. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. If you can go to the left there and find the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, remember when he's talking about the Beatitudes, talking about our attitudes here. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. I'm at Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Check it out, how important it is for God to say, man, clear a path for one another. Verse 23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be what? Let's say that again. First be what? To who? To your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now I see that clearly. Isn't that amazing? The beautiful thing about family, that God reconciles us to him. Hallelujah. Then you do life, and there could be some tension. He says, listen, go reconcile this. This is important. Why should I, who have been saved as a sinner by grace, be any less honoring to somebody who's also been saved by grace? Very important when we see that happening. Isn't it interesting when we look here? Sometimes people don't necessarily present their gifts to God because they don't believe in tithing, or they just don't trust the organizational structure of ministry. Could be sometimes they just love money more than they love God. Or they can't trust God. But I think there's something here, too, that somebody just doesn't want to reconcile with groups or with a person. and they're going to withhold. Sometimes we're just so tense. But Jesus says, listen, it's not so much even the gift. I'd much rather have you right with people or that person more than your gift. That's fantastic. And then he says, come back when everything's said and done. If we recognize flaws in people and are upset with individuals, that does affect my worship, does it not? It would me, does, and it has many times. There's times I can't really rest until I know it's okay between me and another brother. When I know that that's happening, so, and it makes just worship God, worshiping God so much more fruitful, so much more enjoyable. So, that's important. Let's take a moment here and let's pause as we just reflect on, we're thankful that we have Christ who has reconciled us to the Father, but is there anything or anyone we need to be reconciled with? Close your eyes. Holy Spirit can speak to you about that. We don't want to use what others have done and not done toward or about us to ruin our relationship with God. Love it how the Lord speaks to us. Let's take a look at that third bullet point that we need to tell people who don't know God how to be reconciled with Him. That's an amazing thing. That's also a breakdown in that same reference there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You take a look at chapter 5 once again, how he lays it out. We're looking here very clear in verse 19. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And what a wonderful Thanksgiving gathering. Not only do we get to be and remind ourselves we've been reconciled to God, we've got a great opportunity to be reconciled to fellow Christians. But here we have to remember that the third step, which I think is the most simplest, is to point the way to people, the path to be reconciled to God. It's so simple. I love doing that. It was wonderful for Radius 3 yesterday. We loved doing that. It's so easy to say the same God who has forgiven me of my sins, who loves me, deeply loves you. That's so easy for me. The other one was very difficult to reconcile. But I want to be a good, obedient son. So we do want to point to people how it is to find God and be reconciled. But when we take a look at certain things that are happening in our society, there can be people that we get repulsed by and react to them and angry at some of them. And certainly when we see certain things in television, we need to be praying for them. We have been commissioned to point people to the path on how to be reconciled with God. Oh, what a great opportunity when we focus Thanksgiving on the source. You've been given some cards that are near you on I Love My Church card. Wouldn't it be so easy and effortless just to hand somebody a card and invite them to Hope Chapel? Possibly if you feel uneasy about that, leave it on their gate. Place it on the counter of the post office. Leave it near the checkout stand. Why not? It's our responsibility. We've been commissioned to plead with people to be reconciled to the Father. Our society needs that. If you'll invite people to Hope Chapel, I guarantee I will give them an invitation to receive Jesus. I'll make sure they get the opportunity and help you. We help together. There'll always be an opportunity for somebody to pray or respond, receive Christ. Many of you are here today because of that same invitation. When was the last time I invited somebody to be reconciled to God? On this wonderful Thanksgiving, we've enjoyed so much in our lives. Can you imagine having a great banquet in your home? Beautiful cranberry sauce, stuffing just mwah, golden brown delicious turkey. I mean, and the Martinellis right there. And then multiple desserts. Ooh. And you're the only one eating. I would like to try it. No, I mean, but that wouldn't seem right, would it? We really need to invite people to be reconciled with God. Pause for a moment. Have the Lord touch our heart in such a way. The Word of God says this: He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Ministry of reconciliation, pointing to people the way to eternal life. Who are those people? Where have I, Paul Harmon, failed them? Holy Spirit, just breathe on us. Spirit, breathe on us. Give us an ability to be bolder. Have been in the past. Lord, our nation needs the words that we have today. Be reconciled to God. Well, I want to take this opportunity. We've enjoyed taking a look at communion, Thanksgiving communion with God and with man. By reason of remembrance, by reason of repentance, by reason of reconciliation. And in a moment now, we're about ready to have communion. We're going to have our Thanksgiving feast. We're going to have the communion element. And it's going to look a little bit different because Pastor Lori and I are going to hand the trays, and you're just going to hand them off. So as Lori comes down, I want to encourage you, as David comes on up, we're going to, just as if you're passing a bread basket, just make sure everybody gets a portion. I want you to encourage yourself by hanging on to the communion element. If you've not had communion with us before, there's a little wafer right at the top. We'll make sure we'll have communion together. This is our time. We get to remember. Possibility of maybe repenting of things. No idols. No idols. To have the opportunity, now I say, Lord, thank you for reconciling me to yourself through Jesus. But Lord, I don't want to have anybody that may feel uncomfortable or at odds with me because of what I've done. Lord, would you power me up today? Go tell somebody, come on into Hope Chapel. You'll discover Jesus there and grow in Him. Well, let's have communion, and we're going to just pass these trays to you. Just keep passing them along the best you can, okay? And then the ushers will gather them up in the back and bring them forward, okay? There we go. About to have communion now. We've gone through our thoughts and our steps, and we've even prayed, and so I'm going to invite you to separate that wafer. We're going to have the bread first. Thanking God that God came in human flesh. Believe Him for a miracle of healing in our lives, your life, healing in relationships. God is a healer, a life giver. So as we lift that portion up, just thank him. And would you go ahead and snap that right now? Have that together right now. As Jesus did with the bread, now with the juice, he said, do this in remembrance of me. So we want to thank the Holy Spirit for reminding us today how often we remember God in our daily life, bring him into our daily decisions, areas that become idols to us that we need to change into actions that bring us closer to God, not less time with God. And the element of just even now reconciling us to God through Jesus Christ. And the kids of the kingdom, the chance to tell others, this is the path to be reconciled to God too. It's Jesus. Very simple. Very simple. All because the big barrier called sin has been removed. Shed for you. For the removal of sin. So Lord, we thank you and really toast in your honor. Let's go ahead and participate. What a meal. What a meal. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I'm going to just invite you, if you don't mind, you can pass your cups to the side aisles here. I'm going to welcome our worship team up. What a wonderful day of singing to God this Thanksgiving Sunday here at Hope Chapel. As our worship team comes up, our junior high director, David Van Scott, is going to come bring some announcements. As our worship team gets a little established and settled up, I wanted to just kind of let you know of a couple of exciting things. Remember I told you how we are family and that we want to invite our dear guests who are here, please be a part of things. These are some really wonderful, noteworthy things. First of all, Jalal and Crystal Side were in first service, and we thanked them as newlyweds. We prayed a blessing over them. They're back from their honeymoon. Yesterday, Nikki or Nicole Hanning married Brian Mattson. So they're off on their honeymoon, and it was a great thing. So those two couples, we just love, and when it happens here at Hope Chapel, it's outstanding. It gets better. We've had two children born as well. We had Nathan and Stephanie Hanning, had a little baby boy, Callan Hanning. And so if you've happened to see Nathan, he's stepping into an important, prominent role as our children's director. He's that big, tall guy. If you've ever hugged him, you just can't lock your arms around him. But he's very excited. He will be serving here at Hope Chapel on Tuesdays and on Fridays and all day on Sunday. He is taking on a role to help us with our children's ministry and with your children and grandchildren. You might even want to ask him if he does babysitting for you so you can go out on a date. Who knows? Let's see what he's made of. How's that? But that beautiful little baby boy, also, he's stepping in because the Ortegas, yay, had a baby boy this week as well, little Philip Ortega, Allison and Josh. So two little baby boys, that's a thrilling element here. And so they're off on their maternity leave, and we won't be seeing them for a little while. Josh, possibly in a couple of weeks, but we're thrilled about that. And I wanted to add, too, one thing. Last week, we've had a great time remembering what God has done in us and through us and around us. And we celebrated some of the previous pastors of this church, and Gary Robinson, who was our longest tenure pastor, 25 years here in the 70s, actually 60s and 70s, and took the place of Chuck Smith, who went on to really be used of God wonderfully, starting Calvary Chapel. So it was Gary Robinson who pastored. He went home to be with the Lord this Monday, and the family has asked us to host his funeral, so that will be Tuesday at 11 o'clock, Tuesday at 11, for Pastor Gary Robinson. And so we'll actually be hosting a couple of churches, Clayton Robinson's church, The Connection, And then also the Hills Church, both have family members in there, but we really welcome you back as well. So we would be thrilled that if you wanted to pay your respects, 11 o'clock on Tuesday. So that's a little bit of the news we wanted you to be aware of, and we're grateful for that. David, I'm glad you're here. I always look so much better when you're here. I told you that, and it's still true today. Bring greetings.
Hi, good morning, church family. It's really awesome that we can say church family, huh? Got our brothers and sisters and moms and dads and maybe one or two of those awkward uncles. I'm just totally kidding. That's jokes, jokes, jokes. Anyway, I'd like to say thank you and welcome to any of our first time, if it's your first time here, or any guests. We'd just like to ask that you fill out a little Get Connected section and turn it in so we can get to know you bit better, and turn it in out front at the welcome cart, and we have a little gift for you. And also, we also ask that during our tithes and offerings that you don't give anything. And also, if you want to check out our events after service or when you have time, we have some awesome upcoming events. They're well thought out. Good. So at this time, I'd like to invite up the leaders to receive our tithes and offerings. Lord God, we thank you, Father, that you are so good, that you are dependable, God, that we can trust you, Father, that God, that in surrendering to you, God, everything that we are, and our 10%, God, that you will take care of us, Lord. We're just passing by, Lord God, on this planet. Father, all things are ultimately yours. So God, we just give to you with an open heart this morning. And God, we just pray that, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name.
God. Lord, we love you, and we sure love one another. And it's a miracle how that happens, isn't it? We actually start loving people beyond our own ability. It's a miracle. And sure loved our worship team today, didn't you? Would you let them know that? Man. Thank you. And Ainsley and I want to extend a very happy Thanksgiving to all of you. We're so glad that you came to Hope Chapel on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, and you have a very enjoyable, safe, and just vibrant week, and that you'll come back to us safely, and that you're going to invite people to Hope Chapel, and we're going to just enjoy some great, great stories. Hey, we wanted to welcome those who are going to be praying here at the altar. If you're needing a miracle in your life, let's let them just agree with you in prayer. Let's believe for that. Let's stand to our feet now as we just send you off with a blessing, with great gratitude and thanksgiving. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, it's been a sacred time here. Things have been established, reminding us and putting things forth that really will, we believe, really last into eternity. So Lord, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, Lord, once again, you mean everything to us. Everything. You can remove all that we have, but if we have Jesus, we really have everything. So we want to honor you, give you great praise and gratitude. Bless your people according to your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Thanks for coming.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.